A division of Old National Bank State Street Studio.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Less than 2 weeks away.
It's here and it's spectacular.
The all-new ESPN Chicago app. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Easter Sunday, welcome into ESPN 1000. You've got Mark Zander, that's me, Brian Hanley's over there. And Brian, for those who celebrated Passover, that concluded yesterday. So we've got a full slate of sports action today. Cubs and Sox both play. And then, of course, the Bulls. Game one against the Bucks. We'll be talking to Paul Sullivan of the Tribune a little later on this hour. How are you, Brian?
Doing terrific, Mr. Zander. How are you doing today?
It's all good. You know, my kids are grown, so I don't have to deal with that Easter basket grass. You know, that plastic green grass?
Yes.
I'm not kidding about this. I still have every year PTSD about finding that stuff everywhere.
Finding it in July.
It never, ever went away. I had to move out of the house where my kids were small to get away from it.
Yeah, the inspector, when you sold the house, even said, hey, I don't know what this stuff is,
but it could be asbestos. Can you clean this stuff up, please? Yeah,
Can you clean this stuff up, please? What was that stuff made of or is made of?
You got me. I'm assuming it's some kind of plastic product.
Yeah, because, it lasts forever, right? Yeah.
Right.
But you didn't find any chocolate Easter. You didn't find any chocolate Easter bunnies from 20 years ago, did you?
No. The kids knew how to polish those off.
That's
not a problem. And the solid ones are always better than the hollow ones. The chocolate tastes different, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going to do it right.
Do it right. And I'm not a Peeps guy. Were you a Peeps kid?
They weren't really a thing when I was a kid.
They must have been, no?
I don't remember. Were they marshmallow?
Yeah, the marshmallow with the little sprinkles on them, and they're like little ducks.
I don't remember us having those. My parents weren't into child neglect,
apparently I was, but I never enjoyed them. Not really a marshmallow guy, but my kids loved them.
When I was a kid, I could eat like a bag of marshmallows, and I don't even know why I did.
It's not for the taste, is it?
I don't know. It's probably been 50 years, but I mean, it's not even something like I don't have hot chocolate much, but I don't, you know, am I going to put mini marshmallows? Marshmallows are really kind of useless to me. I don't even know s'mores? Are you talking about
overrated? Yeah, I was going to say, don't you enjoy s'mores?
You're ruining perfectly good chocolate by putting it in.
Okay, fair enough. That's the only way that I will entertain a marshmallow. Is with a s'more, but
I don't need scalding hot liquid marshmallow in my hand when I really don't care for the taste.
That's true. Burning the top of your the roof of your mouth is not fun. But I will admit this, and this is really silly, and I don't understand it. But sometimes I will get a taste for that fluff on peanut butter.
Fluffernutter?
Remember that as a kid?
Fluffernutter?
The marshmallow fluff?
Yeah, Fluffernutter.
Is that what they called it? Yeah, Fluffernutter, I guess.
I worked at a grocery store. I had to stock that crap, too, on the shelves. Stuff I never really know. Peanut butter jelly, that's it. My brother, you know, did Elvis. He was peanut butter and bananas on a sandwich. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, don't get that.
He wasn't in a jumpsuit with diamonds on it either, but he would just enjoy that. I never really thought that much of that.
Peanut butter and jelly is solid. That's a solid go-to.
Absolutely. That's in the lunch rotation once a week or at least. Yeah, sure.
See, I do it once a week too. I like that. So we're here talking sports beyond Easter, and I hope you're having a great Sunday morning on Easter Sunday.
Don't terrorize. Were you ever terrorized by the Easter bunny? I mean, there are some kids who absolutely saw the oversized bunny with that look on its face.
We've all seen those pictures, and those bunny outfits back in the day were like, even when I was a kid, I'm no spring chicken, but I'm saying, you know, I'll see pictures from family in the 50s. Were the bunnies, and they just look evil.
Yeah, we used to go to Marshall Fields, and the bunny would be bopping around the store handing out stuff. But, you know, it was about 7 feet tall with the ears.
Right. And, it looked kinda, evil.
Yeah, it had like the Screech movie look, you know, face going on. And, you know, a lot of kids would just be.
Talk about child neglect.
Yeah. I mean, I've never had an issue with clowns or bunnies, but I remember kids just melting down when they saw the bunny coming at them at Marshall Field. So.
Well, we can thank movies for the issue with clowns. it was an easy target. Those bunnies, that's scary to this day. So the Cubs lost yesterday in Colorado. And I heard a lot of the guys, the regular rotation on ESPN 1000 this week, talk about, do you root for Chris Bryant? Of course you do not if you're a Cub fan. But you don't want him to do badly when they're not playing the Cubs, I'm assuming. Where do you weigh in on this? I'm thinking you're probably part of that crowd.
Yeah. I mean, he was terrific, and he said all the right things. I did like the fact he said, I don't think we need to have a press conference every time I play the Cubs because there are a wall of cameras and microphones at his cubicle. But look, I mean, between injury and everything else in the last few years, it was the least bit surprising of the group that got traded got moved out of here. And Javi had some very interesting things to say to Gordon Whitmire at NBCSports.com that they were 5 days away from signing a contract.
I saw.
And he said that, you know, that reports that he turned down $180 million. Now he signed, 4 years, $140 million with Detroit after a stop in New York with the Mets. He said they never got to a final figure, but 5 days before the pandemic hit, they were close, he believes they were close. And then once that domino fell with Javi not coming to terms and the pandemic, you know, the offer not being on the table anymore once fans weren't allowed in and Tom Ricketts told you about biblical losses, the whole thing might have been different had they got Javi's contract done. Maybe Anthony Rizzo decides to stay. I still think Chris Bryant and Scott Boras would have moved on, but you might have had two of the three anyway. So it's interesting how that plays out. As Javi Baez told Gordon, he said, you know, everyone has a plan and our plans were different, whatever. He doesn't begrudge them anything. He wishes them well. And, you know, for everyone who thinks that he wasn't going to have a career that merits that kind of money, he started pretty well with Detroit. So, you know, he said, Everyone thinks I'm going to strike out a lot and all that, but he's doing okay for him. So,
he'll still strike out.
Oh, absolutely.
That'll change. But yeah, I think he'll be an asset to the Tigers as Chris will be to the Rockies. It'll be really interesting when the Rockies come to town to Wrigley Field to see, you know, the reaction. I'm not sure. I'd have to look ahead. I'm not sure if Detroit is coming to town in any kind of to the north side this year. I don't think that that's the case. But it will be interesting to see Chris Bryant come back and Anthony Rizzo when the Yankees come to town.
See, now Anthony turned down $75 million from the Cubs and got 2 years from the Yankees. He might regret looking back now. He might win something with the Yankees and he might be happy because of that. But he left a lot of money on the table.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think in mm-hmm. hindsight, in his heart of hearts, he probably wishes he picked up the pen. And Jed Hoyer said he didn't lose any sleep. He sleeps well at night knowing what he offered these guys. I think Anthony.
So that's the thing. That's all you could do, right? And I think it was probably, certainly an error on their part if they wanted to stay. It wasn't for lack of trying.
Well, I will say this. Seiya Suzuki is earning his keep. Have you seen the numbers he's been putting up?
That's exciting. You know, that's very, very exciting. I love that storyline on the north side. This kid being able to get him and then making an immediate impact. I mean, they're already selling jerseys like crazy. So it's somebody to rally around for the Cubs.
Yeah. I mean, people wondered if the velocity of major league pitchers would be so much different than what he faced in Japan that the long balls wouldn't come. Well, he's got three home runs, right? So he's doing okay for himself. 10 RBI. He's putting the barrel of the bat on the ball, putting the ball in play, a 500 OBP and a 1.395 OPS. So far, so good. And he looks like he's having a ton of fun out there.
Now, is that your most exciting player on the north side, Brian?
I'd say right now he's, I'm still hoping Wilson Contreras can stick around, but I don't have much hope in that. I think he's the next one ticketed for for a trade by the deadline, I would guess. But yeah, I mean, Seiya Suzuki, as long as they made the investment that they did in him, you certainly want to see returns and see if he's a guy you can actually build around. And so far, so good.
And you think that if he can keep that going, that's who they might choose to build around? That would be.
Well, I mean, he's in need a lot more than say a Suzuki, Marcus Stroman.
Well, right.
Marcus
Stroman
had a little hiccup Friday night, and he was the first to admit it, saying it wasn't acceptable, which is interesting because I think he had a really good. He was like 2-1 with a 1.61 ERA out of Coors in his previous three starts. And he was sailing along to that fourth inning, and then you know they put up a five spot, including a three-run home run. So, here's what I love about Marcus Stroman: he's pretty much every day a really positive guy, and you follow him on Twitter, it's an enjoyable follow. He's very optimistic and positive. I like when a guy just flat out comes out and says, you know, unacceptable. I don't like guys who kind of make excuses. Wasn't my day, whatever. I like that attitude because you know you need better from him, and he knows that.
312-332-3776. If you want to jump in here, and we've got a pull up, I believe Jay Kent too, who is a producer for us today. I believe he put up a Twitter poll at ESPN 1000, talking about whose bullpen concerns you more today. We say Cubs, we say Sox. Who concerns you more today? And here's why I bring this up, because. White Sox bullpen is this thing that's supposed to be fabulous, but I'm telling you, every time Hendricks comes up, now he's had some saves yesterday, but they're not easy.
Made it interesting.
They make it interesting. So today, right.
He keeps you there to the last pitch is thrown. I mean, bases juiced. God bless. We got to talk about that because not only is you know the bullpen kind of interesting, but you know Tony was going to it after five innings of Michael Kopech, and I got to talk to you about Michael Kopech because it was about a week ago at this time that someone else wanted to talk to you about Michael Kopech.
Yeah, right. Speak.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it. There's the guy. Yeah.
Yeah, there he is. Welcome back to the program.
What do you call you?
And I know you're a card-carrying, flag-waving apologist.
There you go. That was just part of it. He was just
Checking my wallet. I don't find that card that he's speaking.
Well, I mean, Michael Kopech, he said you got to stand up and be a man too. He's got a man up, right?
Right. So right, and so far, I believe that he has stood up, and he's been a man, and he's pitched. Yeah, you know, yesterday that outing impressed me, Brian, because he had trouble early on, and in past years, that just turned worse, right? That trouble, he couldn't get out of it, couldn't find his way out of it. Yesterday, he found his way out of it.
And
he pulled for pitches.
He talked about it, the different mindset you have as a starter versus a bullpen guy. And he said, if he'd come in, like, you know, to your point, if he came in from the bullpen and had an inning like that, you feel the pressure and you react differently, and it could have gone real south on him. But being a starter now, you have the mentality of settle down. It's one inning. You're going to have at least four more to get this thing done. And that's exactly what he did. And we can hear from Tony La Russa when we come back from break about what he thought about Michael Kopech. But he's manned up so far. He's been okay.
He has been okay. There's no need to throw in the towel on Michael Kopech.
No apology necessary from you, you card-carrying speak.
And we will do more of that when
now your turn to speak.
Yes, I think we're a couple of minutes short of break here, but 312-332-3776. I've got a couple of clocks in front of me here, and I'm not sure which one to follow. So we'll have Jake make sure to get us on time. We've got some highlights to play for you. We've got some other audio. As I said, we're going to talk to Paul Sullivan of the Tribune because the Bulls are heading up to Milwaukee tonight. How are you feeling about that for game one?
Want to hear from Bulls Nation, 312-332-3776. First playoff series since 2017. And everyone has them, I believe, some people actually predicting they'll lose in three, even though that's not quite possible. That's how
how bad they think that they're going to do.
Yeah, some people believe it'll be so bad they won't even play a fourth game. They'll just say, you know, this isn't working out very well.
We quit.
But the players aren't saying that. And so we'll talk about that. And Sully's heading up to Milwaukee to Fiserv Forum. Interesting. If you have, if you're heading up there, there's standing room tickets as of yesterday, $46 standing room tickets. And if you worked a little overtime, and I know you're you know, now that you don't buy peeps, you've got 2,600 laying around. You get a first row seat up there to watch Bulls and Bucks. So.
I've spent about that much over my lifetime on the kids and peeps, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, they also have a big viewing party out there. Now it's all going to be, you know, the Deer District, they call it. Will be outside of the Forum with the big screens and everything else. But if you don't want to spend anything because you don't think the Bulls have a chance, that is a great town to go up to. A lot of, I mean, it's, you park your car, you can walk everywhere. Great restaurants, great bars. You know, you might want to keep the Bulls sweater hidden because you might be, you're in enemy territory. But that's it's a quick trip, and you really have a good day. You know, it's a fun day up there.
I love that town. Aside from their sports teams, which you know we don't have to love them, but I love the town, and it is a great place to party and enjoy. And that would be a good way to enjoy the game. You know, depending on how the Bulls show up. But we'll talk to Paul about the potential for the Bulls winning a game or two, or maybe they're out in three games, which, again, as you said, is impossible, but it might be that bad. Hopefully not. It's ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley, and we want to get you in and involved at 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Kluber comes home. Abreu knocks one into left. Back it goes at the track. Ball gone! Jose Abreu puts the White Sox up 2-1.
For the Chicago White Sox, this is ESPN 1000. Mark Xander and Brian Hanley on Easter Sunday. Happy Easter if you're celebrating. Brian, yesterday's game, and as it came down to the bullpen, it was a close game, but Jose finally went yard. We were waiting for that. But yeah, you know, as we were saying, you know, it is interesting when it comes down to Hendricks coming in, our closer on the south side. He has made it interesting. He's done the job. He's done the job, and that sometimes I even have to remind myself, wait a minute, it's only one run, you know, or it's only a couple people on base. You know, this is not necessarily going to be the collapse that we've seen before, and it hasn't, thankfully. But we have a Twitter poll up at ESPN 1000, and we ask, what are you more concerned about today, the Cubs bullpen or the White Sox bullpen? Now, conventionally, I think, Brian, maybe the answer would obviously be the Cubs, because the White Sox bullpen is supposed to be so good, but we don't have Joe Kelly, and we've seen that is not necessarily a slam dunk.
Yeah, but I mean, the Cubs really aren't, I mean, they're 4-4, God bless them. They're not going to contend for anything, so the expectations on the south side and that bullpen that you've been talking about are so much higher. I mean, as a Cubs fan, I'm still trying to figure out who these guys are coming in from the Cubs bullpen, right? It's in the grand scheme of things, I don't hang on every pitch of anything, whether Kyle Hendricks is scuffling or not. I mean, wake me up in a couple of years, because it's not going to get any appreciably better anytime soon. So I'm not sweating. There are not a whole lot of high leverage pitches on the north side, where even early on in the season, again, sitting atop the division, two games clear of Cleveland, pretty good, 6-2 start for your Sox. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been interesting at times, but they're more often than not, they're getting the job done. So I think, you know, Sox fans want to weigh in on the bullpen at this point. Love to hear from them, because, I mean, I think I speak for a lot of Cub fans that as long as the beer is cold and the sun shines hot, and, you know, and you can afford and want to pay for a ticket to see mostly, you know, games that don't mean much, that you head to Wrigley Field.
Well, and I want to hear from Cubs fans, too, because is that how you've resigned yourself? There's got to be somebody out there that really has higher hope than that, but maybe not. And look, I know it's trying to absorb reality, and certainly we've had to do that on the south side for many, many years, but you still have that hope. And, you know, the Cubs, they're somewhat exciting, and especially with Suzuki, you know, I would love to hear from Cubs fans to say, You know, where are your realistic hopes this year beyond the sun shining and the beer being cold?
Well, you know what? Props to Jesse, because when we had him on last week, he said you should, you know, basically St. Louis is a team. You know, it's not Milwaukee.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
And I did say that the only thing I took from that opening series against Milwaukee and the Cubs was that I think Craig Counsell's in trouble. I mean, they're and then they went and lost to Baltimore, right? I mean, so they're 1-2 at home and 3-3 on the road. The Brewers are. They're 4-5. They're two games out. You know, the Cubs are in front of them and Pittsburgh. The expectations in Milwaukee are certainly, you know, they were the odds on for most prognosticators. I think in Vegas, even they were the team to beat in the Central. And Jesse, to his props, said his credit said, no, St. Louis, go ahead and take a look at that.
And he had a real good reason for saying that. He said that because the Brewers didn't really make themselves better in the offseason like the Cardinals did. Now, I wish the Bulls could play the Brewers today. That may help.
Well, okay, so what's more likely? What's more likely, the Bulls pulling the upset against the Bucks or the Cubs actually winning the NL Central? Or I'll even say being a wild card team. What I mean, because I'm not expecting that to happen. And in a seven-game series, I guess anything can happen. Paul George got COVID with the Clippers on Friday, unfortunately, and had to be held out.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, and it was a thing, and the Clippers could have used him. They end up losing that game. You know, the Cubs have, or the Bulls rather, have two assistant coaches, Chris Fleming and Damian Cotter, not making the trip because they tested positive as well. But those are assistant coaches, not Paul George. So if only Giannis and Giroux and Chris Middleton could get the sniffles, you know, this morning. I'm not wishing anything seriously ill. That's the only way the Bulls get a shot at stealing game one. But we'll check in with Paul Sullivan from Chicago Tribune. Will be on site for the first playoff game since 2017 for the Bulls. And what does it really mean? I mean, not only can you win a game or two, if not the series, but the speculation is that if they lay a collective egg the way they finish out the season, and again, Lonzo Ball's not going to be out there. We know that, and Zach's not 100%. But does the front office really start looking at the core three, if you will, Vooch and DeMar DeRozan and Zach, and say, okay, what do we need to build around them? Or that's not the core three we need to build moving forward. So are there bigger picture questions that lay in the balance of this series? If those three don't do what they can do and capable of doing, are you talking about tearing this thing down a little bit more than just adding to build it up?
You would think that they would have to, right? If we believe the front office to be who they seem to be coming in and making the changes that they did, I don't think they're going to sit for what's happening here. But it will be interesting, as you said, who are the big three that they're going to build around? 312-332-3776, as you mentioned, after we come back from our next break. We'll talk to Paul Sullivan of the Tribune. He's on his way up to Milwaukee. It is going to be an exciting there.
He's Mr. Baseball, too, believe me. I mean, he's been covered baseball forever, so we can pick his brain on your Sox bullpen and some other things going on, because he's doing it all for the Tribune right now. Sully, he's got it all covered. He's a premier columnist, and he's been covering baseball forever, and now he's covering the Bulls run, and we'll love to get his perspective. Right.
Reading through his article yesterday, you know, concentrating on DeMar DeRozan and what he's meant to the team, I've got a few questions about DeMar's future with the Bulls, and we'll be sure to ask him that as well. 312-332-3776, talking baseball, talking Bulls on the Easter Sunday. And if you want to jump in with us and talk about, you know, whatever comes to mind, you've got the Bulls tonight, and then, of course, you've got the White Sox and the Cubs both this afternoon. White Sox will be taking on the Mariners.
Tampa.
That was the season.
Going for the sweep tonight, too.
Yep, going for the sweep tonight. That's a scary team, and, you know, they've got a lot of talent. We've handled them so far. But I think that they're going to do good. They have not been in the playoffs in just about 20 years, I believe. I don't think they've seen playoff action. Is that correct?
Tampa?
No, it's the Mariners. Sorry, I'm getting my team.
Tampa's a long way from Seattle. Yeah,
Yeah, it is a long way. I don't know.
Tampa. Tampa is a game under 500 and not playing nearly as well as we expect them to usually play. So,
right. Talented team, low payroll.
They're one in
how they put that together down there.
They're 1-5 against winning teams, and that's not what Tampa baseball is all about. So they're in trouble.
Nope. Right. Just like the Brewers. 312-332-3776. We will take a break here, come back, and talk to Paul Sullivan of the Tribune here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Zander.
Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side, through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Hanley and Zander on Easter Sunday, joined by Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune. Paul, I've got to ask you, where do you weigh in on the Easter candy stuff? You into the peeps?
No. Is anyone into the peeps?
I'm with you. So
see,
my
all
guy.
Three of us are no peeps.
I'm thinking the peeps were killed by the pandemic. I haven't even heard of them in the last couple of years. So that may be the one good thing about the pandemic.
I really don't remember them as a kid, but it's been, half a century since I was a kid. So
they're awful.
They're no good. They're no good. I haven't had to deal with them since my kids were are well into their 20s now, but they've left a scar, Paul.
Yeah, I think John Oliver had a good bit on his late night show on peeps. If you want to Google that, it's pretty funny.
Good. Okay. I'll do that. I'll enjoy the peeps that way.
So going up to Milwaukee to see the Bulls take on the world champion Milwaukee Bucks. You wrote a call yesterday.
Yeah, just past the Mars Cheese Castle here. So.
Oh, there you go. So you've made the commitment. You're going up there. It's happening. So what can Bulls fans expect out of this series? Brian pointed out that somebody thought that they would lose in three games, which
that's how the odds makers, such
that's
an underdog.
How bad they think it might turn
out. So they'll just cancel the last one and say, give up.
Just call it a
wash. Yeah, I mean, there can't be much optimism, and that's the Bulls' fault. They've had a really bad ending to the season, and they didn't play well all year against the good teams. They're 0-4 against the Bucks. They hardly ever beaten Budenholzer since he's been coach. I think he's like 14-1 or something like that against them. So, all signs point to either a sweep or a five-game series. But, as I pointed out in the column, it wasn't that long ago, it was 2020 in the bubble that Milwaukee choked to Miami with a lot of the same stars, most of the same stars. So, anything's possible.
Are there
who's really going to go ahead, Brian?
Sully, are there big picture questions? I know people have been writing about it. We've been talking about it. You have a max contract possible for Zach LaVine as an unrestricted free agent this summer. If they flame out here like they did toward the end of the season, again, Lonzo Ball's not part of this with the injury and all, is the front office looking at this as if they compete and at least give it their all, they continue to build around the big three, Vooch and Zach and DeRozan, or if they flame out here, do they start saying, well, maybe Vooch isn't part of the future and they make some other moves and then they have to figure out the Zach LaVine contract with the injury and everything else?
Yeah, I would say definitely Zach, you would think that he would get the max because of just what he's meant to the organization, always a stand-up guy when they were terrible, and, now it's finally his first playoffs, and, there is probably some concern about the knee issue for sure, but you would think that he'd be back. Vooch, I'm not so sure about him. I think, He has a lot of double-doubles, but his three-point shooting was off. He really hasn't been the player that we thought he'd be when he came over from Orlando. So I could see him possibly moving. Kobe White, very disappointing. Really thought he would take a step forward this year. They kept him from the rebuild, and he didn't really step up. So I think Arturo is going to make a few changes, but definitely – you would think he would build about around DeMar and Zach.
So DeMar has really shown up for us this year, and he's really carried a major load. Are we going to be able? I mean, is this him turning a corner that's permanent? Because we didn't think that we would get this version of him, and is this sustainable for next year to build around it?
Well, I mean, it's his 13th year, so yeah, he's been around a while, but I think it was his best year. I mean, I always thought of him as a kind of a complimentary player up in Toronto with Kyle Lowry and them, and in San Antonio, I didn't really pay any attention because they weren't very good. So I thought he would, be like a Scottie Pippen type to Zach this year, Scottie to Michael, but really, he took over, and they wouldn't be anywhere near where they are this year, without him. All those fourth quarter rescues he did in the first couple right. months of the season, the back-to-back buzzer beaters, the 50-point game against the Clippers. He almost single-handedly won that one just last month. So, I think he's got 2 years left in his contract, I think. I think they could build around him, at least for the next couple of years.
So maybe it's a case of
Lonzo would be the guy that would be a long-term if he's healthy.
Right. Okay, so certainly maybe it's the case that DeMar just got a role that suited him better and he stepped into it.
Yeah, and he's just a clutch player. I never knew that before. I mean,
right.
I've never seen a guy that – just turned it on like that in the fourth quarters. Well, I saw Michael, of course, but yeah. I guess since Michael, I've never
We're
seen
talking about humans. We're talking about not superhumans, just the regular humans.
Yeah, regular people, right. Normal humans. He's amazing, and he's such a cool guy, too. I mean, if you listen to his press conferences, he's never, pointing to himself. He's always talking about his teammates. I think when he went down to Champaign to watch Io's number getting retired, I thought that was very, very,
very cool
of a teammate to do that. Just everything he does is positive, and I don't know. I can't think of many more athletes that come to Chicago and just become instant fan favorites like he has.
And we know the NBA. You wrote about this in the column. NBA has become a recruiting league, right? Guys get on the phone.
Yeah.
They say, come play with me. And LeBron James is like a do-over. I mean, his Magic told Get Up that the reason he didn't end up going to the Lakers is because Russell Westbrook was, Walson wanted to come out to Los Angeles, and guess what? They're sitting there watching the playoffs now, and without DeRozan, the Bulls would have been in the play-in tournament.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And it's too bad they had such a bad ending because it really otherwise was a really great season up until the last, few weeks. And I think, not having Lonzo has really hurt more than we expected. They don't really have a true point guard. Io and Kobe aren't starting point guards in the NBA. So, it's too bad. It was a great season. It's going to be a shame when they get, knocked out in the playoffs pretty quickly. But, overall, I mean, if you think about the last few years of the Bulls, the Jim Boylan era, how, embarrassing that was, watching him call timeouts, every 5 seconds. This was a great season. It's just a shame if it ends on a poor note.
The other thing, when you look at this, any playoff experience is good experience. And you mentioned Zach, first playoff in 8 years in the league. But Patrick Williams, Io.
Yeah.
There's only, it's great to hear Tristan Thompson talk about trying to, these guys who've been there trying to instill some knowledge and expectation of what postseason basketball is all about. But those guys who've been through it, Caruso and such, basically said, until you experience it, you don't realize what a different level it is.
Yeah, and I think hopefully they are watching yesterday's games and, Anthony Edwards and, Jordan Poole. I mean, there's these guys on teams that really haven't gotten a lot of recognition this year because they're not, so-called superstars, and they're really showing up in the playoffs, at least in game one. And it would be great to see Patrick, Kobe, Io, these young guys in the Bulls to step up like that because let's face it, if they have any chance at all, at least one or two of those guys are going to have to do something like that.
All right. Before we let you go, we have to, you know, you have to calm down Mark Zander, Mr. White Sox over here.
What's wrong? What?
Well, he's 6-2. He's upset. No. The bullpen's giving him heart palpitations.
Well, a little bit. Look, I'm not overreacting. The reason why I put up that Twitter poll is because a typical hardcore Sox fan would be overreacting. And you know, sometimes, you know, Hendricks will give up a hit or two, and then you just start thinking, uh-oh, this is going to collapse like his first time out this year. And he hasn't, and it's been obviously a good result past couple games.
I think Ronaldo.
Bummer and everything, and we haven't seen Joe Kelly yet. So put up on Twitter, just silliness.
What about
Graveman?
Graveman has been really good. Yeah, I mean, great pickup. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
I think
definitely Liam hasn't gotten off to a great start, but that's him.
It's really Liam. Yeah, it's really been Liam. That's and bummer at times too. But thank God we have more resources than that.
Ronaldo Lopez's middle name is uh-oh, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they're 6-2. Come on.
Yeah. Hey, there's always something to worry about, Paul. There's always something to worry about.
I guess. I don't know. I would worry about the Bulls. Save your worries for the Bulls, and don't worry about the Sox. They're
all
beating
right, how about
two
the Cubs?
Really good teams in Seattle and Tampa.
Well, here's my Cubs question. Do the Cubs have a better chance of being a wild card team than the Bulls have a chance of beating the Bucks in this series?
Oh,
geez.
Well,
that's not
I don't know. Okay. I would say no. I would say neither. Neither.
Yeah, I know. But if you had to pick one,
I guess I would say the Cubs, just because there's an extra wild card team this year, and it doesn't seem like anyone in the National League is really off to a great start. So,
and we could push that concern off. The Bulls' concern is real, and it starts today.
Yeah, and, let's enjoy it. Maybe they can pull out a game in Milwaukee. They did that one of the first two games. I think everyone would, like, at least be a little more relaxed. If they go into this United Center down 0-2, obviously everyone's going to think it's over. But, it's a playoffs. The Bulls are in the playoffs. And, if you said that at the beginning of the season, you'd probably be pretty happy knowing that.
That's true. That's
watch out for those state troopers, Sully. Those Wisconsin, they like Illinois plates. So be careful. Posted speed limit only.
Thank you, Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune, for jumping on with us here at ESPN 1000. We're taking your calls when we come back. 312-332-3776. It's Zander and Hanley on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Xander Hanley, ESPN 1000, Easter Sunday, the Bell Tolls for the Bulls. Game one in Milwaukee tonight against the world champion Bucks. As Paul Sullivan advised me, save my worry for the Sox bullpen and shift it over to the Bulls. Which, sure. Again, there's always something to worry about. And it's going to be quite the challenge for the Bulls to go up to Milwaukee and take on Giannis and the guys, the world champions, right? But as Paul pointed out, in 2020, in the COVID year, they were not successful moving ahead. And
we just need Jimmy Butler scoring 40 points a game like he did for Miami back then, so.
Well, yeah, that did help. Certainly, it did help. DeMar DeRozan's going to have to, step up as he's done all year. This is not the exception anymore. It seems to be the rule that DeMar is going to bring his game. We're going to need him if we have any sort of chance. Lonzo Ball is not part of this.
No.
He's going to be sorely missed. Tip-off is at 5:30 tonight, and it
I think pregame's 5:30.
We should be happy there. What's that?
Pregame's 5:30.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's a game. But the festivities start at that time. And we're just happy the Bulls are in the playoffs. And again, as we look back a few years with Jim Boylan leading the team, there was zero chance to be excited. And now we at least are afforded the opportunity to play the world champions in the first round of the playoffs. So 312-332-3776. Where do you weigh in on this and maybe the offseason, what they do? David from Joliet wants to join us here on ESPN 1000. Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Dave.
I just have a couple questions. And my first one is, what do you guys think the Bulls need to do to win one game in Milwaukee?
Well, here's the thing.
Score more than the Bucks?
Well, and in order to do that, yes. You know, the Bucks are great at really shutting down the paint and making you take right. outside shots. So the Milwaukee Bucks have allowed the most three-point attempts per game in the regular season in the NBA. Conversely, the Bulls have taken the fewest three-point attempts in the NBA in the regular season. So the one they'll probably have to take more. And that, look, there have been some games where I thought they were jacking them up way too much anyway, out of frustration more than anything else. But you heard Sully talk about Kobe White not being the guy we'd hoped he'd been. And last year we gave him a pass because they were asking him to be a point guard and not a shooter or scorer. He's only averaged 19% of his threes, making threes against the Bucks. He's got to step that up, and he can't be the only one. I mean, Vooch, when he has an open three, he's got to bury it. So that's just one of the things they have to do. Obviously, the disparity in free throws is huge and has been huge to the point where DeMar DeRozan was complaining after one of the losses that he wasn't getting any whistles. The Bucks have averaged 26.5 free throws per game against the Bulls, and the Bulls have averaged 15.3 free throws against the Bucks this season, and that's about six free throws fewer than the Bulls normally have on average. So they got to get to the line. They got to, and if there's a prop bet out there, David, that Billy Donovan's got to get a technical today if they're not getting whistles. He's got to, he can't wait. He's got to jump. Mm-hmm. He's got to make the officials aware that they're not going to sit there and watch the hometown Bucks get the hometown calls.
Right. And that kind of leads into my next question. I just wanted your guys' thoughts on who needs to step up whose name is not DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine.
Vooch, Patrick Williams. I mean, first of all, those two guys are going to have their hands full with Giannis and right. Chris Middleton. I mean, it's going to take a village to – Giannis might get his, right? I mean, he might get his anyway. But if the other two key guys up in Milwaukee and Giroux and Middleton are getting theirs, then you got no shot. But – you got to frustrate them early. And in a minute here, we'll tell you, Steve Kornacki was on the Bulls pregame playoff preview show on NBC Sports Chicago. And he tells you, one, how long the odds are that they're going to win the series, but also what happens if they win game one. It's kind of interesting. So appreciate the call. Thanks, David.
Yeah, thanks, David. 312-332-3776. I mean, Io's in the mix, too. I mean, how much can you – you know, lean on him being a first-year guy, but he's somebody to be really excited about. But, again, it's all hands on deck. And remember last week we played that audio of Billy Donovan saying, I told you about the defense, I told you. We didn't have a chance to ask Paul Sullivan about that, but that still kind of seems like he was taking himself out of that. And hopefully he sent the message to the guys. You really don't need to send a message to the guys to see – and to indicate how important this is and who they're playing and the chance that they have to surprise everybody. Kevin in Lake County wants to jump in here and talk about the Bulls playoffs on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it sounds like you guys have a lot of hopes for DeMar DeRozan, but, you know, the Bulls are going to get shut down, man. Just being honest here, the Bulls have been collapsing. You know, since the All-Star break, the team's been falling apart. With the injury to Caruso, it seemed like, you know, all hope is gone. And I would expect Giannis to be putting up, you know, 40 points a game. And I think it's going to be four straight blowouts to end the series.
You're not the only one thinking that, Kev. And believe me, appreciate the call. I mean,
that's the unfortunate reality, right?
No one's given them a puncher's chance. I mean, not. We'll hear from Steve Kornacki and he'll break it down for you. I mean, the only playoff series in the NBA that has longer odds for the underdog to pull off the upset was the Pelicans against the Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns were a minus 1350 to win that series against New Orleans, who were weighed in at a plus 750. And we'll go over the Bulls odds because they're not quite that long, but they're not far off. So no one's expecting the Chicago Bulls to even show up for one game. But if they show up for today's game, that's the game you need to show up for. You can't go ahead and say, well, we'll just take care of our home court. You've got to pull off the surprise today and get everyone's attention.
You do. Right. We're not expecting, but we're certainly hoping. 312-332-3776. More Bulls talk with Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000 when we get back.